Ms. Tammy have just been a great encouragement to me personally and my family, always very supportive of my vision and just encourages me. And especially come VBS and Fall Festival time, Brother Tim is there to help me out and to get excited about reaching the kids with the gospel. But Brother Tim, seriously, he's just servant-hearted. He loves the Lord. He loves the local church and thankful for his ministry. So you come and preach what God's put on your heart, Brother Tim, and we appreciate you being able to preach to us tonight.
So, it's been about 6 years. And you know, I told Brother Christian this afternoon, I've been preaching since 87. But you can't see my palms right now, but if you could get up close, they're sweating. I'm nervous. It's been that way for years. I preached to crowds 200, 300, 400 and everything. There's no remedy for it. I just got to do it. And like a switch, you turn the switch on, then I go. So just bear in mind with me, is this your glass, Pastor?
Sure.
That's mine. All right. I was going to ask Brother Luke here, but Pastor, you beat me to it. I need a little sip here before I start.
Amen.
Sip gets you going. But tonight, I've only had this happen like once before. I have two sermons, and I got to decide which one I'm going to preach. It's only happened once before in 34 years. And so what happened was I worked on this sermon and this sermon and this same sermon for months, actually about 3 months. And then it just didn't gel. Those that knew you preached before, it just didn't seem like it was in sync. Something was wrong with it. And so I said, Lord, I'm working on this sermon tonight. I'm working on this sermon today, whatever day it was, and I still couldn't get it together. I had outline and had all that, but just nothing seemed right about it. Then a week ago, we are in Charleston, and I'm hearing a young man preach. And so I'm going through the scripture he's going through. And he's preaching something on another part of the scripture, but my eye got caught onto this other part of scripture from his same chapter. And it's latched on to me ever since. In fact, I have to admit to this, I wrote the outline for this message about 2 hours ago. But it's been in my heart over a week. So tonight, let's get this scripture going, but I want to say something about the other message I had going here. Well, I can if you want me to. But the other message about the other message, it had a song in it, and I was thinking about singing it. And I said, well, I only know one person that sings worse than I do. Well, if that's the case, Pastor, we'll have to make sure that everybody has earplugs, all right? All right, turn your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 2. We'll get in right to it. And actually, I'm going to take my suit coat off here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. All right, I hear the rustling of pages. That's all neat. For those that don't rustle their pages, you have your cell phone and kind of rustle your fingers. Verse 12, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Verse 13, I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you little children, because you have known the Father. Verse 14, I have written unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. It almost seems like these two verses are almost identical. But they're slightly different. And tonight I want to speak on this subject tonight. Our Father knows best, or the greatest Father of all time. Manhood and fatherhood today is under attack from all sides. We need to hear from the greatest, and the one who knows the best in these times. So let's pray and we'll get started. Dear Jesus, I need your help tonight. It's been 6 years. My father-in-law was in the audience when I preached the last time, but now he's with you. And Lord, I pray tonight, as we're here, that you'll be among us and speak to us. I think I need this message as much as anybody. Help me tonight. Help us tonight. Be better when we walk out of this place. In your name I pray. Amen. My memories of my father, my earliest memories of my father, were kind of strange ones. I think the earliest memory I have was 1967, 68. I was just nothing more than a toddler. But I remember I was in my crib, and I had my hands on the top of the crib, and I could see because the door was open to our bedroom, because my brother and sister and me were all in one room. We each were in our cribs. But I looked out, the door was open, and my dad, mom and dad's door was across the way, their bedroom door. And my dad was laying on his side, he was sleeping. And all I can remember is I'm screaming and screaming, "Dad! Hey, Dad! Hey, Dad! Wake up, Dad! Dad!" I don't really know other words. I was just a toddler. But he didn't flinch. He didn't move. As time went on and I went to school, my buddies in school and other kids in the school were talking about their dads. "Hey, Dad went with me to the Little League game and we played ball together. And he talked to me and he spent time with me and did stuff with me." But I couldn't remember that with my own dad. Not even one time. My dad had this routine he would always do, the same routine every single day, because in those early days, I wasn't in kindergarten yet. So we get up in the morning, about 8 o'clock in the morning. My dad would get his paper, and he always had his chair. And he would sit in his chair, he always had the same cup of coffee all the time. I think I'm missing something here. Where's my little fuzzy thing? So anyways, he'd sit there in his cup of coffee, and unfortunately, lost the other half of this. Unfortunately, the other thing he did, of course, he smoked. He had his coffee, he had his newspaper, and he would sit in his chair. And that's all he would do every single morning. And I would sit there, watch TV with him until I went to kindergarten. Time went on. I was sitting on his lap one night, and he was watching this documentary, The World at War. And I kind of knew my dad had been in World War II, but I didn't really know all that he had done or what battles he was in or any of that. So he sat in his chair, and he was watching it. And then I got on his lap. I was about 8 years old at the time. And I said, "Dad, what did you do in World War II?" And all of a sudden, as soon as I said that, Dad's hand started to shake. His arm started to shake. And his mouth started to quiver. And his whole body seemed to shake. And I hadn't seen this before from my dad at all. I just got off his lap and walked away. From that moment on, for the next 3 days, it was chaos in the Sparks house. So much so that my mom, I don't know how she did it, but she calmed him down. "Wilbur, you got to go to the VA hospital. We got in the car. We drove down there to the VA hospital. We dropped him off. We really didn't see him for about 2 weeks. He was in isolation. When he came back from isolation, my mom sat me down and she had a meeting in my sister's room. She sat me on the bed. She sat next to me on the bed. And she said some stuff it's unbelievable. She said, "Tim, your dad is sick from the war. He's home now, but I don't want you to ask him questions about the war again. In fact, I don't want you to even talk to him. Leave him alone." At that moment, I knew that I didn't have a dad anymore. Not a real dad. He was gone. He was just a shell of a man who would sit in that chair, smoke, have his newspaper, his coffee from his coffee, favorite coffee mug, and that's what I knew him as, pretty much. And I want you to look back at this passage again, please. Verse 13, "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked." I write unto the little children. The Lord is saying, okay, I'm going to be dad. Dads, this is Father's Day. I've got some advice for you. If you're looking for a dad, I'm available. I'm here. And this is my advice. You follow my advice, your sons can deal with the wicked one. Your little ones will keep learning. Years later, I got saved. And my dad's condition, got worse. He had a stroke in 85. Then my mother passed away in 86. I was 21. And I remember in my work truck, because I had my lawn business, crying. I was parked up in George Hudson's parking driveway. That's where I kept my equipment. Because I bought the son's lawn company from him. He let me use his shed back there. So I was in tears. I said, "God, I need you." But in 3 short years, something else happened. I got a call from my brother. I was an intern, pastoral intern, in little Tulon, Illinois, 1,000 people in the town. And I don't know how my brother found me, but he found me. He found the phone number to the parsonage and called me. And he said, Tim, our dad last night passed away in the nursing home. July 5th, 1989. And the crux of this message tonight, I want you to see this. I want you to hear this story. To this point, because this is something we can all do, whether our dads are here on this earth or not. In those next moments, after he hung up the phone, I got on my knees in the parsonage in Tulon, and I started weeping and weeping. And I said, "God, I don't have a mother anymore. God, I don't have a father anymore. You're going to have to be my dad now. You're going to have to be my father. Because I don't have one anymore." And at that moment, there was a wave of assurance in my heart from the Lord. It was like Him saying, "Tim, I got this. I got your back, Tim. I'll be your dad from this point on." And from that moment till this, these 32 years, He has been that. I can tell you stories of amazing things that He brought me through in all these years being my dad. Not just God, who created the universe and created this great planet, who created all the things that we enjoy and take for granted in this paradise. I'm telling you, it's not in paradise in Neptune or Mars. But tonight, we have the assurance not just that God created this great place, but He can have a place in our hearts. He can be Dad. I was thinking of this. Actually, this is part of the message I never got into. But I'll read it to you. It was actually supposed to be a couple points ago. The greatest. What do we think of the greatest? The greatest Jeopardy champion, Ken Jennings. The football running back, Walter Payton. Michael Jordan in basketball. Sir Isaac Newton, Albert Einstein as scientist, Beethoven as composer. Now, this one's debatable. NASCAR driver, Dale Earnhardt. But we think about the greatest dad of all time that provided all these things for us, but yet can be so personal and so direct into us that He could be just like this. He could guide us and help us. I think of a situation years ago that He guided me through. I didn't understand it. I thought I was going the right direction. But He was patient. He sent people, you'll see this, He'll send people across your path that all of a sudden say almost the same thing. Verbatim. And you had to know that's the Lord. We need God more than ever. We need Him not just to be our Creator, not just to have foreknowledge, but we need Him to be our dads. We're going to face some trying times. We're going to face some hard times. Times that we have never faced in our lives are on our doorstep. And it makes me think, after all the years, I'm 56. Maybe I got a few years left to go. That I still need Him. I need that dad in my life. I'm not too proud. I'm not too proud because I'm 56 and I've worked for 38 years that I don't need Jesus. I don't need His help. I don't need His comfort. I don't need His understanding. But we need Him. I know this is not a long message. I don't usually preach real long. I'm not those kind of people that can preach for 2-3 hours. Whereas the crows fly, whichever comes first. But get this truth. He's the greatest dad of all time. The greatest being of all time. But yet at this moment in many of our lives, He's the most ignored of all time. Please consider this message. Please think about this message in your hearts. When you get on your knees tonight and you need to pray, I hope you pray, Lord, my dad's in heaven, but You're here with me. I need You, Dad. I need You now. And if your dad is still here, Lord, thank You for the dad You gave me. That I can honor on Father's Day and every day of my life. Amen. And thank You for having His back. This is the great truth. This is the great blessing. This whole earth was made for all of us. Just us. Not the aliens from Mars or Alpha Centauri. You watch these TV shows like Star Trek, whatever. No, this planet was made for us. And He is here for us. Let's bow our heads.